anything advancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Doug and Daddy Show. It is a Wednesday, and we're glad to have you along with us on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Got a full show today for you. We're going to be talking soccer, baseball, basketball. That's right, all over the sports dial today. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to meet the new head soccer coach and the first head soccer coach in University of Nebraska at Kearney history, Mike Munch, as they get their program underway. And he brings a wealth of experience and talent to the Lopers, and be interesting to find out why Kearney? Why start a new program? We're going to find out from Mike here in just a little bit. Also, we're going to talk with Ron Powell from the Lincoln Journal-Star, a little high school basketball, and he'll update us on some of the rankings and some of the top matchups. And now that we're through about the first half of the season, where some of the schools in the area stand going into the second half of the year. And we'll be hearing from Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame pitcher Dennis Leonard. Of course, the Royals caravan in town last night and rolling through the area. They'll be in Minden for a special presentation at the school today, a $5,000 donation to the ballpark and the facilities there in Minden as they make their way through Nebraska, and then today Lincoln, then into Omaha and off to Des Moines, and then, of course, Royals Fan Fest caps it all off this weekend back in Kansas City. But I want to thank everyone that came out for the special Doug and Daddy Show to meet the Royals and enjoy some good food at Skeeter Barnes last night. We had a good time.
Yeah, and Doug, if I could just chime in on the Minden experience this morning. Royalty Fields, if you go to royals.com/royaltyfields, that will explain to you, if you're thinking about updating and matching, having a grant to match money in your community, it's a great organization. They're doing a great job. They're doing it in Elwood. They're doing it in Blue Springs. They're doing it in Minden. The information is there for you if you want to upgrade your ballpark in your community, in your facility. I don't think it's that difficult. I don't think there's a lot of hoops to jump through for this deal. They're doing it all over, and it's an exciting deal to help kids baseball in your area.
Well, and we go to the Dent Popper inbox right off the bat here. Jeff from Kearney was out there last night. He says, my son and I had a good time at the Royals caravan last night. Thanks for your help in bringing the boys in blue to Kearney. Always my favorite show of the year. My bags are packed for April 10th. Powder Blue Royals fan, Jeff in Kearney. And, of course, he speaks of the home opener for the Royals. They actually opened the season on the road against the Chicago White Sox. But welcome in the New York freaking Yankees.
Great.
To christen the new stadium. Nobody better to beat, though, on opening day.
If we can beat them.
No. Whoa, Mr. Positive. Whoa, where's Mr. Positive? I'm going to keep the show positive. Everything's positive.
All right. Well, we'll kick their ass then.
Unbelievable. Well, we'll talk more about that, and we'll hear from Dennis Leonard in just a little bit as well. But right now, we welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show for the very first time the first ever head coach of a soccer program in UNK history, Mike Munch. Mike, good morning. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Well, good morning. Very nice to be here. Thank you.
Well, we're glad to have you here, and I guess there's all kinds of questions when you start a program, no matter what the sport. But when soccer comes to UNK, it will create a whole new environment. The facilities look like they're already there. But start with why Kearney and why take on the challenge of building a program from scratch?
Well, I don't necessarily think of that as anything negative. I mean, when you have the opportunity to start a new program, that means you're putting your mark on it. You're putting your desires, you're forming it the way that you want to. You're not coming in and cleaning up somebody's mess. You're not taking over a successful program where you're sort of just the keeper of the torch. I mean, you're doing things the way that you think they should be done. And it's certainly an opportunity. It is a challenge. I've had, I don't know if it is the pleasure of starting a program prior to this one, because that was done in a probably the opposite way that it should be in terms of lead time and preparing. UNK has done everything the right way, and that's one of the things that makes it so attractive. The fact that it's in a community that really supports athletics, where the college is part of the community, those are things that make it a very attractive position.
Mike, as far as seeing other facilities around the nation of this level, where would this facility rank?
Well, at the Division II level, top 5% that I've seen. I've been at two Division II schools, one in Texas, one in Florida, and I have seen quite a few Division II schools, and the schools in Florida all have very good facilities, but there's not many that compare with what we have here. So, that's certainly a factor. I would certainly use that in recruiting. So, very happy with that.
Mike Munch, the new head women's soccer coach. Of course, the name announced a while back. Folks can meet Coach Munch maybe for the first time at tomorrow's Loper Luncheon at the Health and Sports Center that gets underway at noon that they have every other Thursday during the sports season. Mike, what's the biggest challenge? What's the first thing you have to do when you start a program? Is it facilities? Is it coaches? Is it reaching out there and recruiting? What's the first thing you tackle?
Recruiting. It's just a situation where, like all sports, the student athletes are making their decisions earlier and earlier. Soccer doesn't have an early signing period like basketball and some of the other sports. So the kids have made their decision. They just can't sign until February. But trying to find the student athlete who's still in that decision-making process, who maybe is not quite sure what they want to do, well, identifying that student athlete, trying to get them in to visit, trying to let them know the things that you have to offer, that's the biggest challenge right now. That's a little compounded by the fact that there's not a lot of activity going on right now for me to be able to see those student athletes play. So you rely upon research, talking to coaches, things like that to try to help you advance that process a little bit.
I guess I was kind of following up on that. When you're not from this area, having known, I would assume, relatively few high school coaches, how do you go out on the road, meet those coaches, establish relationships immediately and try and build those to understand and get the talent here?
Yeah, I mean, you do have some contacts through club soccer and what's called ODP soccer, and you know some of those coaches, and they can give you some informed decisions and informed opinions. But a lot of it is making new contacts. A lot of it is looking at backgrounds and knowing what a player has done club-wise or high school-wise. Soccer is a sport where club sometimes is more important than the high school. High school is certainly important in terms of being able to view the student-athlete and get out there and see them play. I know a lot of the kids that are already on campus that have expressed an interest are local kids, and you certainly want to mind that area as well. But at this stage, there's not any area that you leave untouched. I mean, you call the high school coaches, the two-year coaches, the club coaches, whatever you have to do to find where the student athletes are. And then when they do start up again, high school in March, you go out and see as many games as you can.
Mike Munch is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking to UNK Women's Soccer, the first coach starting this program up. So where are we? Do you have some kids that are interested? I know you can't mention names, but do you have some kids that are going to be coming to UNK already? Are you still working on that progress? Do you have kids on campus that have approached you? Well, what's that been like so far?
Well, anytime you start a new program, you are going to have to develop or depend upon the girls that are already on campus a little bit. And have had numerous inquiries already, probably 5 to 10 that we've either talked to or emailed that are already on campus. But getting the high school seniors on campus is important. I have one coming in later today. I've been talking to numerous recruits about them coming in for a visit, coming to look at the school, doing whatever we need to get them interested in us. It's a process like anything else. It's just you have to speed it up a little bit.
Mike, how many ladies will be on or would you like to see on your first team here?
The first team, I would be happy if we had 24. I like to carry a large squad. Typically, a college soccer team is made up from 18 to 24 student athletes. I would like to have, eventually when we get everything going, 28 to 32. I just like the flexibility of having to be able to train with full squads, to be able to go 11 versus 11 in training. You know, when you have a team, you're always going to have injuries, kids in class, things like that. So practice is important, and the ability to play 11v11 in practice, to me, is very important. So I like to have a little bit of a larger squad. But if we can get 24 this first year, I'd be extremely happy.
Mike, if for the folks out there, you've been at Texas A&M Commerce, a great program there at North Florida, obviously both Southern schools. What's going to be the bigger challenge building in the future the program here at UNK, being in the Midwest, being a cold weather school, and I guess my limited knowledge of watching soccer at the Division I level, I guess, mostly when they do put it on TV, doesn't seem to matter if it's a cold weather school or not, because some of the northern schools have done okay in that venue, and Hastings College is down the road at the NAIA level has done very well. But is it just like every other sport, getting the kids here, or will it just be a base here? What's the difference going to be?
In that regard, I don't think there is a great difference. At both my prior schools, the roster makeup was 95% in-state kids. Here, we have...
That was Florida and Texas, though.
Well, yes, but understand that everybody and their brother wants to go to a school in Florida.
Yeah.
So the ability to recruit out of state, you would think, would have been better than what it was. But here, again, you're going to rely upon the in-state base. Fortunately, we have some things we can do academically that'll help draw some kids from out of state in the region. There's good soccer base in Kansas City, in Wichita, in Kansas, and over in Colorado. So if we can, make the majority of our base from in-state with some occasional out-of-state kids, that's where we're going to hit, and that's where we're going to be.
Well, I guess... Fill us in on your background. Married, unmarried, kids?
Single, no kids. Haven't, I used the word mistake. That's not a mistake. But I haven't done that yet. So that enables me to put a little more time in that recruiting and do those extra things that are needed to make the program what it is. I grew up in Texas, big all sports fan. Played every sport there was, played college football, was a kicker. They didn't have a lot of soccer opportunities way, way back when I came out of high school. My dad played baseball at the University of Missouri for a year. I played baseball as a kid. I did everything. And when soccer came to my hometown, it was just one of those sports that you added to your sports calendar. But it was something I quickly grew to love. And it sort of, as I got older, was where I was pointed to. The high school I attended was very large, so you pretty much had to make a decision, and soccer's where I went up until college when I had to make that decision to do something else. But, I've coached club, coached college, coached at every level you can think of, and it's just something I love.
I got to be honest. Are we going to score goals? Because this 1-0 deals kill me.
Can I tell you a short story? The first thing I did when I came up to interview was, as I was driving up from Texas, went through York and started hitting the dial. And the first thing I come across was the Doug and Daddy Show.
Uh-oh.
And you had Damon Day on that particular day talking a little baseball. And you're ripping the Yankees. I thought, well, there's nothing wrong with that. somehow or another, you got to talking a little bit about youth soccer, and then the topic got to David Beckham and his wife. And
I must have been out that day.
But I think that's posh.
Yes, that's, you got that correct. And I thought, well, here's where part of my role as a coach is just, becoming someone that promotes the program, informs people about soccer, and yes, there are goals scored occasionally. I can promise you that it is more exciting to come out to a game and watch live than it is sometimes on TV. The things you see on TV, especially the American soccer, is certainly an acquired taste. You probably have people that are more interested in European soccer on TV than you do the American soccer. We want to have our fans know that we're a good, solid program, but they can come out and watch something that's very entertaining. I had one of my teams that was, I think, second or third in the nation in scoring goals. So,
yes,
hopefully we will score a few goals this fall.
What can you tell us, Mike, before we let you out of here, about the RMAC conference as far as the soccer and strength of the RMAC right now?
Traditionally, it's been very top-heavy in the sense that Metro State and Regis have always been the top two teams. Metro has won a couple of national championships this decade. JB out at Regis has always had a very good program, always nationally ranked. School of Mines has just stepped up their program where they made the NCAA playoffs. Fort Lewis, Mesa State have always had very good programs. And then you have some that are in the building struggling stage. So, but overall, it's very competitive. You know, we're, because of the conference schedule, going to play the best teams twice this upcoming fall. So, you know, we've got it set out for us a little bit in terms of what we have to do. But, you know, we hope to be competitive the first year. I don't put any limits on what we can achieve. But certainly after that, we want to be in that top tier. We want to be considered the NCAAs every year, conference titles, those types of things. And I think it certainly can be done here.
Excellent.
Anybody, and again, I guess at this stage, as we let you get out of here, Mike, I'm sure that there's kids out there going, I know there's a soccer program coming to UNK. Maybe I should consider this. Just contact you, the website. What would be the best way about finding out more information about the program?
Well, certainly you can get in touch with me. We just got our information up on the website, both my email and my phone, so that's certainly something you can do. You can mail, you can email. Juniors, of course, I can't call you back at this stage, but you know, we're going to be doing things in the community, camps and clinics, and so there's lots of ways to get out and get your name known and to let people know about me. So just a little bit of effort, and I can certainly let you know that it will be followed up on.
Well, Mike, welcome to Kearney. We look forward to adding you to the UNK and the Central Nebraska sports family, and best of luck in this, what I would have to consider a tough first year. You know, it's going to be a lot of work to get this program put together.
Well, thank you, guys, and I appreciate you letting me come on, and anytime you need anything, just let me know.
Mike Munch, the new and first ever head soccer coach of the UNK women's program, joining us for his inaugural visit on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we look forward to catching up with him as the team becomes a team and then gets ready for a fall ball. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, Ron Powell is going to join us from the Lincoln Journal Star. Don't forget, phone lines are open. We're going to give you a chance to win some tickets to the Hunting and Fishing RV Expo at the Max Center in Council Bluffs this weekend. Also, of course, we're going to hear from Royals Hall of Fame pitcher Dennis Leonard. Your emails are also welcome. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll be back right after this.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Doug and Daddy will get right back to you.
Hi, I'm a mud flap from JTM Products. I guess I shouldn't be complaining about my job. It's my job to get... It's a dirty job, but at least JTM Products has the knowledge and know-how to make me look pretty.
Oh, boy!
Have JTM Products customize your mud flaps. All sizes, cars, trucks, semis, and minivans. A great gift for a car buff. JTM Products can even do custom design and sizes of mud flaps, too. Always affordable prices. Call JTM Products today. 308-338-FLAP. Online at jtmproducts.com.
Well, there's family fun, drinks and food. Everyone's wild about the Chicken Coop.
The Chicken Coop, a first-class sports bar with TVs everywhere you look. And the Chicken Coop is also a family-friendly eatery that sports a varied menu that can satisfy anyone's taste. Find out why so many people flock to the Chicken Coop, downtown Grand Island and downtown Kearney.
Well, there's family fun, drinks and food. Everyone's wild about the Chicken Coop. Sports bar and grill, baby.
Save energy and save money.
Hi, this is Scott from Builders. And if you're feeling the cold and are amazed at your heat bill, you may need to upgrade your insulation. Let our expert Travis offer you a no-obligation estimate on raising your R value and lowering your heat bills. And earn a free Builders gift card. Plus, don't miss our free energy savings seminar. See how to save energy and save money this Saturday at 2 p.m. at Builders in Kearney.
Builders does it best.
Radio.
Mike in the morning.
Would you tremble if
you
touched your lips?
No, I wouldn't. I am a professional here talking about a football player.
You know what? He wouldn't tremble, but I think you would quit.
Give Mike and Mike a ride to work every weekday morning on ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
Here's a look at this afternoon's forecast. We'll have partial clearing at times across much of our region. We'll also have a slight chance for isolated snow flurries and snow showers around as well, with breezy north winds at around 15 to 30 miles an hour, and a high temperature fairly steady around 10 degrees for tonight, overnight low near negative 3 degrees.
Currently 10 above.
crazy cheeseburgers and cheap cigarettes. One day they'll get me if they ain't got me yet, 'cause I've been living.
Doug and Daddy Show. One of the dumbest Kenny Chesney songs ever. I don't know. I comment on the music every once in a while. It's got a good beat and you can dance to it. What a made-up song. It's not that good.
Derek, one of your favorites?
Nah, not really.
Also, Shift Work. Stupid.
Yes, thank you.
Stupid, stupid, stupid song. Should have never. If it hadn't been for George Strait on that song, it would have never even. It's just if you're at the top of your game, you can sing anything, and they don't care. It just doesn't matter. But there you go. Anyway, speaking of food and cheeseburgers, why not stop by the Chicken Coop for lunch today in Kearney or Grand Island? You can catch all your favorite sports on TV at the Chicken Coop. NFL, NBA, NCAA basketball. Maybe you got classic on. Horse racing's coming up. Daddy, you even watch fishing from time to time.
I do watch fishing. And if you want to see Jody Meeks' 54 points, 6 o'clock tonight, replay ESPN Classic.
Kentucky. Not even that good, are they? He goes out for 54. 15 high-definition televisions all over the place. Not a bad seat in the house. And with lunch specials every day and great food and drink specials every night, why mess around? The Chicken Coop is the place to watch the NFL playoffs and the big game on Super Sunday, Daddy. What is that big game?
Well, the big game is Pittsburgh-Baltimore.
And also Arizona taking on Philadelphia, doubleheader. You can watch those at the Chicken Coop. And stop in to warm up with the special menu item that they are going to feature for the month of January, some pheasant chowder. That is a home local dish at the Chicken Coop. And if you are not into pheasant chowder, why not try the chicken? Any of their 12 flavors of flame-broiled chicken wings. The best wings in town, from jalapeno garlic, sweet and sour, spicy garlic Dijon, Jamaican jerk, the jack sauce, or just your basic medium hot or buck nasty hot. It's all there for you at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney and Grand Island. Derek will bring up some breaking news music here in just a moment because, well, we're going to forewarn you about some breaking news. But let's tell you that Ron Powell is also going to come up here in just a second. We're going to be giving away some RV fishing and hunting expo tickets coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show. I'll just read it. How about that? Is that okay? You want me to just read it?
Sure. I have no idea where that bet is.
The Tri-City Storm have traded their best player. Mike Cicci traded to Indiana for a first-round draft pick and future considerations. The trade comes one day after Cicci was selected to play in the USHL Prospect All-Star Game February 4th in Sioux Falls. He was the Storm's captain, leading the team in points, tied for the team lead in goals, leading the team in assists. He's recorded 26 career goals, 48 assists in his Storm career. A quote here from head coach Tom Rodrud. We needed to make a major shakeup. Trading one of the best players in the league is a major shakeup. It allows us to look into and take care of the future in a major way. We wish Mike the best with this opportunity to advance his hockey career and in his hockey future. He helped lead Team USA to a gold medal and was the MVP of the World Junior A Challenge in November. Your thoughts?
Well, he proved that he was the best player in that World Junior Cup in Canada when he got an opportunity to go. I guess you feel your team's really, let's be honest, going nowhere. You've lost, what, 12 in a row? Well, now
what are they going to do?
Well, but you got to look at getting something back.
I mean, I understand you've sold. Well,
I mean, he's gone at the end of the year.
What have they got back? A first-round selection and future considerations.
Well, you get another first-round pick for next year, I guess.
I am basing this on what I would think about any other sport. Not just because it's the Tri-City Storm. I'm looking at that going, obviously the season is not going to turn into a playoff season. And you want to give Mike Cicci an opportunity to advance his career because that's what this league is about. And I understand that. But, boy, there's half the season left?
Yes, there's exactly half the season.
Yeah. There's half the season left.
He's gone at the end of the year. I mean, it's not like he's got a chance to come back. Right, Derek?
Right. And for him to go to Indiana, Indiana's already got a good squad. And to add Mike Cicci, wow, they're gonna be good now. But I mean, like you say, they're looking to rebuild. They're 6-24 at this point in the season. Obviously, playoffs are looking kind of bleak right now. Yeah, it's bleak. They're not gonna make the playoffs. So I guess they're looking to build for the future. They have a young team as it is. Maybe add some more building blocks to the future is what it looks like.
So the Tri-City Storm. Going to go ahead and trade Mike Cicci, and the Storm now head on a 5-game road trip. So We'll see what happens with the Tri-City Storm and who they get in return. Ron Powell going to join us here in just a moment. While we get hooked up with Ron, let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. And Jackie in Hastings fires in. Just curious to know how you feel about Cody Glenn being picked to go to the All-Star game in Texas. I think it's an excellent chance for Cody to show what he can do since he's a great player and helped Nebraska get back on track. But apparently his violation of team policy was severe enough that it kept him from being allowed to play in the bowl game. However, I hear some people feel he shouldn't get to play in the All-Star game because of that. But we don't know exactly what it was that he did, and since there was no arrest, not playing in the bowl game as a senior should be penalty enough. We have three great players going to represent Nebraska, and I hope they all do a great job. Jackie in Hastings. Tony, your thoughts?
Well, like you said, we don't know what he did. There's so many rumors out there.
Officially.
Officially. Right. But I would think if you couldn't play in the bowl game, I really think it would be an NCAA violation of some sort.
Leidenmurth, Zach Potter, Cody Glenn are going to play in the Texas versus the Nation game. So if you played in Texas or graduated high school in Texas, you're on that team and everybody else from the Nation. And then Marlon Lucky and Matt Slauson going to the East-West Shrine game this week. Glenn played 9 games for the Huskers this past season, suspended for the undisclosed violation of team rules. The way I see it, he's no longer a part of the Nebraska football program. He's been invited out of college with his eligibility over to have a chance here, and this wouldn't be the first time an athlete that has had some trouble. And again, obviously it's not with the law because there hasn't been any charges pressed or there haven't been any arrests in this thing. So I don't know where you can have any – if they want him to come, and maybe Nebraska's saying, well, let's give him a chance because that's what we do here.
Well, I think there's obviously extra benefits. Like you said, the eligibility is gone. There's extra benefits for you to go to a bowl game, to play in an All-Star game. They can give you, you know, they can pay your way. They can take care of your rooms. They can buy you all the meals they want and buy you all the shoes they want. Go play. Like you said, your eligibility is gone.
Iowa State, Nebraska basketball tonight on the men's side. A crazy Cyclone fan. We'll take a look at his email. But right now, we are pleased to fire off to Lincoln. And home of the Lincoln Journal star, prep sports writer, Ron Powell joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Ron.
Thanks for having me.
Well, glad to catch up with you again. We don't need to wait till state tournament time to talk to Ron because it's put those rankings together. And this is always an interesting time because the major publications put out their preseason rankings. We go through the month of December. We go through the holiday tournaments. We sort things out. Now we're into that second week after the holidays, and things should have settled down by now. What's your rankings look like compared to what you put down in the preseason, Ron?
Well, in Class A, they haven't changed a lot, although they changed a little bit from the first rankings we did in January to this week after Lincoln East knocked off Millard North. That kind of shook things up a little bit. But my first January rankings were not all that much different than what I had preseason. But some of my other classes have changed tremendously.
Ron, I guess if you look at Central Nebraska, there's some teams playing some awfully good basketball on the boys' side, such as Adams Central right now. St. Paul's got a good squad. Minden's got a good squad. And I understand. And I think you look at a lot of that. On the girls' side, you've got Ravenna in the Luplat Conference. Really looks to be the team to beat in C2. Is there anybody that can contend with them?
Well, you know, they have really rode the momentum from that state volleyball title, and it looks like, you know, they are definitely the team to beat the way they have dominated teams. You know, Cambridge, their opponent in the state volleyball finals, you know, looks like they're a team that could challenge. You can never count out, you know, two programs like West Point Central Catholic or Perkins County, both of whom have won state titles in recent years. You know, they're both off to good starts. Perkins County has only lost 2 games in the last 3 years, have Sarah Wilson, who's a Division I recruit, going to Wyoming. And, you know, they're going to be in the same district with Cambridge, so that could be interesting to see who comes out of that and who might have to settle for a wild card.
Ron Powell is joining us here from the Lincoln Journal-Star, talking a little girls' high school basketball. We've talked about the boys quite a bit. And the girls, we've seen some good matchups. I know last night Kennesaw took a hit there in Class C2 as they fell by 1 to a Giltner team that both of those have been in and out of the rankings. Ron doesn't have either one in right now. But as we take a look at some of these basketball games, there were a lot of close ones last night. And there should be a good one coming up here on ESPN Radio this Saturday. Kearney Catholic and St. Cecilia are going to be playing.
Yeah, you know, Hastings St. Cecilia almost beat Crete in the holiday tournament over at Doan. It took a furious comeback by Crete at the end to win that game. And Crete's undefeated in Class B. They're ranked number 5. And Hastings St. Cecilia just recently beat Lincoln Christian to move into the rankings. So Class C1 has really become kind of a wild card right now. You know, Columbus Scotus goes into Bishop Newman and knocks them off after Newman had just dominated people in December. So, you know, this class looks like it's wide open. There could be a lot of changes in those rankings.
Ron, you thinking in Class A, I guess, when you look at Southeast, do you think John Larson wishes he'd have went out of state and gotten some tournaments to really push this squad?
You know, you kind of wonder how they would do in some of these tournaments outside of Nebraska. You know, they've never really jumped into that like South Sioux City has. Kind of interesting, though, Bellevue West, the week after they played Southeast to a 3-point game in the Great Nebraska Shootout to start the season, went down to Kansas and beat a Lawrence, Kansas team that apparently had 4 starters back from a squad that won the 6A state championship in Kansas. So I think we've got a pretty good idea how, you know, Southeast would match up with some of the schools from outside of, you know, at least in the region. Now, they could match up with Sioux City North in this tournament that's up at Sioux City North that includes Bellevue East, Southeast, and South Sioux City. Southeast will play South Sioux City in the first round, and then Sioux City North and Bellevue East play in the first round. So we could get a look at Southeast against Sioux City North, which I believe was ranked number 2 in the biggest class in Iowa, last I saw.
Ron Powell joins us here from the Lincoln Journal-Star. In Class B, Holdridge is in there. Adams Central is right on the cusp of getting in. But Alliance and Jordan Hooper, there's been a lot of discussion when she came onto the scene. You have them ranked 6th in your poll, and I know that has a lot to do with they just don't get that crack at playing teams in the East. Is it hard to know how good they are?
Well, they've graduated a lot of people around Jordan Hooper, and you know they're kind of rebuilding a little bit there. I think they're going to have a chance to move up, and I think the rest of those players around Jordan Hooper are going to develop and come around. I mean, they've only lost, what, 2 games in the last 2 years? 3 games in the last 2 years, if you count the one this year. You know, they lost early to Sydney, and then since then they've avenged that loss. So I did talk to the Alliance coach today. I hadn't really touched base with him this year yet. And Jordan's averaging 22 points, 15 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 block shots. So, I mean, she's a huge force, you know, both on the perimeter and in the paint.
Ron Powell from Lincoln Journal-Star joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Ron, I guess on the boys' side of things, everybody wants to talk about how down basketball is. On the girls' side, what's the general consensus out there?
Well, I don't think basketball's down right now. If you look at the individual talent, I mean, how many years can you say out of this senior class you've got a player going to the Big Ten, to a Big Ten school, K.K. Hauser from Southeast? You've got 2 going to ACC schools, Kelsey Litteris from Shadron signed with North Carolina State, as well as Marissa Kostanek from Southeast. You've got a player going to the Big 12 from Millard North, Melissa McFarlane. You know, she's 6'7". You know, you've got Sarah Wilson from Perkins County going to Wyoming. And, you know, right behind that class is a very strong junior class with Jordan Hooper, Kate Edwards, Vicky McIntyre, 6'6", player from Omaha Marion, I think is going to be on the radar screen of a lot of Division I's. You've got Jasmine Corbin, a senior from Millard West, going to Creighton. You've got a 6'4", Alyssa Camphouse, who's a junior at Seward, who's committed to Creighton. So, I mean, there is a high level of talent right now in Nebraska. I'm not sure we've seen this kind of talent level in terms of Division I level players in the state ever.
Ron, you mentioned the two girls that are going to North Carolina State, and Kostanek has been there a long time commitment. But now with Kayao and the reoccurrence and trying to take care of this cancer, I mean, it just doesn't sound good. Have you talked to either one of these girls about their thoughts about, you know, they're not going to be playing probably for the coach that they committed to?
Well, I talked to Marissa's father on Saturday, and apparently Marissa has talked to the assistant coaches, and I'm not sure exactly what she was told, but, you know, they're all hopeful that she will be back next season. So, and that, you know, that's the hope, that's the prayer right now. So I'm sure that's weighing on Marissa a little bit, you know, knowing that, you know, the coach that she had kind of made an attachment to is really going through some serious problems right now.
Ron, I look at your rankings this week, and without really knowing much about the top teams in D1, although we know that Ashley Dahl at Deschler is a good ball player, I've seen Silver Lake, they're very solid. But it seems to me that Southeast in A, Ravenna in C2, and Chambers in D2 are very solid number ones, and right now are huge favorites going to Lincoln. And the other three classes could be a lot more competitive. Would you agree?
I think Class D2 is going to be extremely competitive. You know, you've got Pleasanton up there that's undefeated right now, and, you know, they got almost everybody back from that team that was in the state finals. Ewing has almost everybody back from a team that won D2 last year. Lawrence Nelson's very good. There's a lot of good teams in D2. I'm not sure Chambers is a huge overwhelming favorite there. I think that's going to be an excellent class. You go to Class D1, Bancroft-Rosalie, you know, they've got the longest win streak in the state right now, 37. They've already beat West Point Central Catholic once. They've got to play them again tomorrow night. Bancroft-Rosalie looks like they could be favored in D1 to, you know, defend their title.
Well, Rondo, we always appreciate catching up with you. You're the best, and we'll catch up with you again real soon, talk a little more high school girls basketball as we get towards conference and districts. Again, thanks for the time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Ron Powell, Lincoln Journal star, prep sports writer, takes care of the rankings for girls and female high school athletics, and, of course, worked in our area before moving on to Lincoln. Hey, don't forget the Heartland Hoops Classic. If you're talking basketball, this year it's all boys, but it's coming up on February the 14th from 9:30 until the final tip-off at 8 o'clock in the evening. All sorts of great matchups. Teams from Central Catholic, St. Paul, Wood River, St. Cecilia. You bring in Shadron and Ralston, highly ranked in the state of Nebraska, both in the all-class top 10 this week. Fremont Bergen going to be there. Burwell ranked number one. They're all going to be there. And for ticket information, you can go to the Heartland Event Center box office or online, heartlandhoopsclassic.com. heartlandhoopsclassic.com for the Heartland Hoops Classic second annual event coming up on Saturday, February the 14th at the Heartland Event Center in Grand Island. Coming up this weekend, it is the River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo. We've got some family four-packs to get you in for free. Admission, $7. That's $28-$30 worth of tickets, depending on who's getting in there. And it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can call 1-888-455-ESPN right now. 1-888-455-ESPN. Derek's going to give away a couple of family four-packs to the River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo this weekend. And when we come back, Kansas City Royals Hall of Famer Dennis Leonard will join us.
It was just last week when a Doug and Daddy listener was overheard making this remark.
Gonads are useful for their purpose, but they are no substitute for brains.
Guess that about sums it up.
What if we told you we'd created the perfect card for your business? A card that can give you the working capital you need, interest-free. A card that can earn you rewards to reinvest in your business. A card that's not a credit card. Well, meet the American Express Open Charge Card. To get the purchasing power millions of owners already have in their wallets, call 1-800-NOW-OPEN. American Express Open. Calling all business owners. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Imagine this. You walk into your apartment and, oh boy, you've been robbed. Yep, somebody definitely broke in there and made off with the goods, didn't they? Your flat screen TV, your laptop, and even your race car shaped bed's gone. Just a devastating loss. The good news is, if you call Geico, you could be protected for as little as $12 a month. Yeah, seriously, just $12. So first, call Geico, and second, maybe think about buying a grown-up bed, yeah?
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Hi, this is Cindy with the Kearney Family YMCA. It's 2009 and there is no better time than now to change the way you look and feel. At the Kearney Family YMCA, we welcome a new year and a new you. With new cardio equipment, challenging programs, and a membership category for everyone, this is the place to be. During our Pay the Day promotion in January, the earlier you join, the better the price. So come see what's new at the Kearney Family YMCA, where we build strong kids, strong families, and strong communities.
Radio.
Mike and Mike in the morning.
Would you tremble if you touched your lips?
No, I wouldn't. I am a professional here talking about a football player.
You know what? He wouldn't tremble, but I think you would quip it.
Give Mike and Mike a ride to work every weekday morning on ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
Here's a look at this afternoon's forecast. We'll have partial clearing at times across much of our region. We'll also have a slight chance for isolated snow flurries and snow showers around as well, with breezy north winds at around 15 to 30 miles an hour, and a high temperature fairly steady around 10 degrees for tonight, overnight low near negative 3 degrees. Currently 10 above.
Doug and Daddy's show. We go to the Dent Popper inbox. Crazy Chris, the Iowa State Cyclone fan, has fired off an email. It says, a little heads up for the two or three people in the state of Nebraska that follow Husker basketball. Well, you shush. That's two more than do in Iowa. I just wanted to let you know that they do have a basketball game in Ames tonight, and it turned out to be a loss for the Huskers. I expect the Big 12 second leading scorer in Craig Brackens to go off for about 25 or 30 tonight and lead the Cyclones to a victory to kick off the Big 12 home slate. I was about ready to give up on this Iowa State team until they stepped it up the last few weeks and competed very well in the opener at Texas. I loved how Lee Barvnak put a disclaimer in his Big 12 rankings this week about how the Huskers won't rise above the 6 point he currently stuck them in. They did win conference games, so he had no choice. Look for the Mighty Mites to be 1-1 in Big 12 play after tonight. On the bright side, no team will be worse than Colorado. Crazy Chris.
Well,
I hope we roll them. You can hear it on the Breeze, 94.5 FM.
That'd be a great start for Doc. It'd be, you know, one of those games where you think, on the road, maybe Nebraska can get a win. We're talking about wins. We're talking about Dyna-Gro people, and we're talking about Roundup Ready soybeans. They're bred to perform in reduced tillage environments. Hey, they allow growers to take advantage of the many benefits of conservation tillage. Hey, you don't want to be out there working up your ground. They're no-till tough. 1-800-652-9298. They want it all. Dyna-Gro is where it's at. More acres are planted this year than ever before. Call your local Dyna-Gro seeds dealer today or call 1-800-652-9298 and find out where your local Dyna-Gro seeds dealer is located.
Doug and Daddy's show continues, and the Kansas City Royals last night out at Skeeter Barnes. Daddy, we got a chance to talk to quite a few of the folks as they get ready, and optimism is there for the 2009 season. They're in central Nebraska a little bit later this morning. They have a special presentation over in Minden with their Royalty Fields program. Then it's off to Lincoln and Omaha and all the great things that are going to be going on with Royals Fan Fest down in Kansas City this weekend. But every time that the caravan is along, and I know he was here earlier, maybe a couple of summers ago when the Legends came out and put on some youth clinics, and you've been saying the number 103 for like a week and a half now.
Well, I'm still doing
complete games with Dennis Leonard.
Yeah, Dennis Leonard joins us. Dennis, thanks so much for stopping by today. And he was here for the golf outing, and then we found out that Dennis likes to hunt and fish, and we could have taken him fishing, but we didn't know that at the time. But welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Dennis. Thanks so much.
Oh, not a problem. We still have a chance, maybe not at this particular time, but maybe this summer, set some things up.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you out.
He is a master angler. I'm not sure what he catches, but I know he's on the boat quite a bit. Dennis, when you get to be around these young kids, whether it's on a caravan or at the Royals, but, I mean, you're going to be on the road quite a bit, and traveling time is, I suppose, talking on the phone or talking to each other. What are you telling these kids? What do they need to know about maybe just, A, being a big leaguer? Because, again, quite a few of these guys pretty young.
Well, that is definitely true. They are young. And usually I was young at one time. But the problem is that they face now is that there's a lot of young players together. They had a few veterans. But when I came up, basically there's one or two rookies and basically a veteran team. And they kind of take you on the wing and kind of show you the way. So these guys are really learning on the fly. But basically, you know, as far as on the field stuff, every time you go out there, you know, be proud of wearing a major league uniform, and you know, you with the Royals, be proud of that uniform and appreciate every day you go out there.
Dennis, how frustrating have the last few years been for you and some of the guys you keep in contact with? When you look at the success you had at one time and the once proud franchise, and you shake your head, or what are your feelings on that?
Well, it is discouraging. You know, there was some restraints. I think I didn't know Alec Baird too well, but I have a feeling that he had a little bit more restraints put on him than Dayton Moore when he came over here, and, you know, things just didn't work out. I mean, I could look all the way back to the John Schuerholz era. I was already done playing, but Mr. Kaufman, God bless his soul, you know, right before he died, he wanted another championship, and, you know, John, the only way to get that done basically depleted the minor league system. You know, to get some older players there, it never quite worked out. So then all of a sudden, John went to Atlanta, and he's very successful. Don't get me wrong, but at that time, when I look back in Royals history, when that happened, then when he left, then all of a sudden, Herc Robinson took over, but you didn't have the minor leaguers to put up in the big leagues. And if you look at our successful years, yes, there was some great trades to get Amos Ondas, John Mayberry, Patek, but when you look at the success, you know, the Frank White, Woodorf, I mean, Al Cowens, Boquets, Wolfords, you know, Rich Gale. You know, you had a lot of players that were in the minor leagues, got a little taste of success in the minor leagues. And when we came up there, we didn't come up all at once. So, you know, we kind of blended in with the veterans, and they basically steered the way, you know, don't do this or don't do that. You know, they kind of helped you out, because big leagues is not as easy as the minor leagues. And when you get up there, basically, there's a lot of ups and downs. And normally, for a pitcher anyway, you might have success very early. There was a young pitcher that came up one time. His name was Dave Chamberlain. And he came up, and boy, he didn't know what was going on. And he won three in a row. And, I mean, I can see him just chirping in the clubhouse, this, that, and the other thing. And then before you knew it, he
pretty
was three
smart.
And four. I mean, the hitters get a knack. And if you throw fairly hard, the veteran hitters did not want to stand in there until they knew you could throw strikes. And, you know, those things, when you're going good, it's easy to be chirpy. But how do you deal with when you're losing? And that's the thing I think that you have to overcome.
Dennis Leonard's joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, a Royals Hall of Famer. As you take a look, I'm just thinking about Hochaver. I'm thinking about Alex Gordon. And that's just with the Royals. I mean, you can take a look at some of the other guys that don't or haven't spent a lot of time in the minors because the organizations want to get them up there and make them superstars right away. That didn't used to happen near as much, I think, as it does now. What is the biggest adversity that these guys have to overcome when they don't come up that minor league system?
Well, basically, like I mentioned earlier, learning on the fly. You know, you come up there and...
Is it on-field stuff, or do they have the off-field stuff? Or?
I think it's probably a little bit of both, because, you know, even in the minor leagues, although a lot of the minor leagues are the attendance, they're starting to, you know, have pretty good attendance, but they're not having 30,000, 40,000 people. They're not going into towns like New York and Boston and, you know, all these other big-time towns.
The bars stay open late, don't they?
But the thing is, they can't go out to them anymore. There's too much technology.
Yeah, everybody
and,
knows them.
You know, I look at that, and I'm not condoning going out and having a beer. I don't tell everybody to go do it. But the one thing in our era is very common. Our players were so close, not only on the field, but off the field. If we're on the road, you might have 10 or 12 guys, you know, having a beer in a bar or something, you know, chit-chatting about the game. But nowadays, if they're in there with all the technology, the next thing you know, it's going to be on a computer, YouTube, or I'm not even familiar with that stuff. So they're really restricted as far as their movement when they're on the road.
Dennis Leonard joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. One thing that's really changed over the years is 103 complete games, and I'm still amazed by that. That's a Royals record, and that's a record in which you have. That doesn't happen. That's a record which will never be broke. I can say that emphatically. It will never be broke. Why has that changed so much?
Well, basically, I think relief pitching got more notoriety. When I came up, we had some relievers. When I first signed, basically, when we broke the minor league camp, basically, the relievers were the guys that weren't good enough to be the starters. When you look at the way the game has progressed, now in the minor leagues, they have guys that basically came out of either college or high school or somewhere where I don't know who makes the decision, but they want them to pitch in relief. So they get an experience of pitching relief, and then they get to the big leagues, and you know they have a guy for the seventh, a guy for the eighth, and obviously the closer. But the mentality of the pitchers today probably would be like it was, but they don't allow it. I was talking to Luke here, you know, yesterday, and I said, you know, you guys are, did you throw a lot, you know, through your college career? He says, I threw all the time, but they shut us down. You know, we can't do any of this and do any of that. And I said, yeah, I said, you know, you have such, your techniques of training is so much different than we had. I said, we threw a lot and we ran a lot. We didn't have a weight really to lift in the clubhouse. So the progress, you know, it changed, but I don't know if it's for the good or the worse. Because you see a lot of injuries now. A pitcher goes out, they're a starting pitcher. He's not expected to go nine. So if that's not in your train of thought, you go out there worrying about how many pitches you're throwing. You're only allowed 100 or 88. So you get into a game, a winning or losing situation. What are you going to do? You say, wow, you know, I got 20 pitches left and I'm starting an inning. I want to get this win. Yeah. So what do you do if you fall behind a couple times?
Did you ever
you worried?
Down?
No. No.
What's the most in one game? You know
I know my first year, I probably averaged about 136 pitches a game.
Dennis Leonard has joined us for just a couple more minutes. Is baseball better today than it was in your era? And I think we can throw the steroid era kind of right in the middle of it. I think we're coming out of that. It seems still pretty pure when maybe because the Royals won the World Series in 85, and after that, you know, most Royals fans kind of draw the line. Where do you think the state of the game is right now, just overall?
I think it's in really good shape. It's obvious by the numbers, you know, the people that show up. But everything is different. It's hard to compare. I think today's athletes are conditioned and trained a little bit different. I think they're bigger and stronger. I think the game has changed as far as they want to see more run production. You know, most of the fans that go to a game, if your home team wins and it's 8-7, they say, wow, people running bases, base hits. They don't want to see a 1-0 pitching game. And, you know, not because I was a pitcher, but usually if something's taken away, you know, they lowered the mound, the strike zone got smaller. So these pitchers, you're not allowed to, and the big thing I see, what is really tough now, is you're not allowed to pitch inside. I mean, you get a little bit too far in, the next thing you know...
Well, you got all that gear on, they're allowed to wear all that gear, they're not scared, they don't care if they're on top of the plate.
And, you know, I don't think the respect is there that I seen when I played, because it was obvious that some guy hit a home run, the next guy up, you know you weren't trying to hit him, but you wanted to make a point, throw it high and in, those guys didn't dig in. And it was respect, you know, between the pitcher and the hitter, and the hitter and the pitcher. But nowadays, I don't think the pitchers get that respect. These guys, you know, if you throw inside and the guy gets hit, the next thing you know, the umpires are warning this, warning that. And a pitcher is going to get beat to death if he can't use that inside part of the plate.
Any brawls in your day?
Oh, we had several.
were you the instigator in any of those?
Well, yeah, one. The first one I really remember, that it was a pretty bad one. It was kind of out in Oakland. And
Oakland and Kansas City didn't really like each other.
No, but Oakland was always front running. But this is the time we went into Oakland. I think we had a four game lead, and we had four games to play them. And then we were coming home to play Minnesota, and we lost the first two games. And I pitched the third, and it was a home run. And I said, okay, this is what you do. I went to try to knock Don Baylor down.
Mm. Oh.
And if you remember Don Baylor, he didn't give much at the plate. I mean, he hung over the plate, and I really didn't try to hit him, but the ball got away, and I hit him between the shoulder blades. And like I mentioned, that error, it wasn't that bad, but the umpire, everybody knew the situation. You know, they're closing in on us. They're within two games. And the next thing, the umpire, Tom Haller, he had one of those big outside chest protectors at the time. He jumps in front of Baylor. And Baylor was actually going towards first base. He didn't just charge. And Buck Martinez was the catcher. Well, when Haller went out there, I think Baylor got a little bit more fumed about the situation. He flipped him out of the way, and he flipped Buck out of the way. And I said, boy, this is like my third year in the big league. I'm dead because I'm elevated, you know, on the mound, and I swear he's a foot taller than me. So that wasn't a good situation. But, you know, it was kind of a funny situation, too, because the next thing you know, I don't know if you remember back that far, Hal McRae, Oakland's, where we our bullpen was, there was always a, just a little overhang over the relief pitchers, and people would run down the stands. I mean, it was more fight with the people in the stands, and it became a mess, but, yeah, we got through it. We were fortunate to win because Larry Gura pitched one heck of a game the fourth game, and we won. I think we won 2-0. Then we went home, and I think we beat Minnesota, and it was like within a game, and I think the Angels beat Oakland, and we kind of snuck in by a game. So we knew how, what it took to take, you know, what it took to get there. So after that, after squeezing in, then we had a little bit more success after that.
Dennis, you talked about the guys you hung out with. Who was your number one buddy? Who was your favorite teammate? Who's the guy you still keep in contact with?
Well, basically, I don't know if people remember Tom Poquet.
Oh, yeah.
He was an outfielder that is credited for having padding put around the walls of Kauffman Stadium back at the time. Tom and I, we hooked up in Omaha. He signed before me. I signed in 72, I think. Tom signed in 71. And we played in Omaha together in 74, so I got to know him real well. We became roommates. Then I got called up in 75. Tom got called up a little bit later, but I continued to have him as a roommate. Then he got traded, like normal, in the middle of a game of a doubleheader against Boston.
Ooh.
And then he comes and pinch hits. I'm pitching the second game, and he pinch hits against me. And he didn't even look at me, and it was a nothing-nothing game. We wound up winning 1-0, but I'm looking at him. I just wanted him to smile. He wouldn't even look at me. I don't even think he saw the pitch I threw, but he popped up, and that's the only time I faced him. But we still stay in contact. He, after his playing days, he stayed in the Royals organization for a number of years, and he lives up in Sarna, Wisconsin.
That's north enough for me.
Yeah, it's up near Spooner somewhere, but, you know, he's a real good friend.
Probably catch some fish.
Yeah, right now through the ice.
Well, Dennis, we know you've got a lot going on. You've got the dedication and the great presentation going on in Minden today, and we sure appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and always a pleasure to talk to a legend.
I appreciate you having me on the show.
Dennis Leonard, part of the Kansas City Royals caravan, coming through town again. They have a special presentation for the kids over in Minden. Then they're off to Lincoln and Omaha. They were at Skeeter Barnes last night. Thank all the fans that came out and enjoyed that time and got to see the Royals with Luke Hochaver, Mitch Meyer, Joel Goldberg, Slugger on hand. Always a good time, and appreciate all that came out. And again, to Dennis for joining us on the program today. Hey, don't forget, it's travel basketball time, folks. We've talked everything today. We've talked basketball, soccer, baseball, and how about getting ready for the travel time for your kids? And Misco Sports can help you out. If you're running a team, they can outfit everyone from head to toe. Reversible jerseys to shooting shirts, warm-ups and coaches' shirts. Misco's will make sure your team looks as good as they play. And if they need some new shoes, now's the perfect time to pick some up. Misco's is offering an additional $10 off every pair of shoes in the store. Of course, all other Columbia coats are 33% off. Youth Russell sweats $10. Whatever you need to play in, to practice in, or just to be comfortable watching the game, they've got the gear for you at Misco Sports. See them today, open 7 days a week on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. We'll wrap things up right after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Two guys who get a little emotional when they hear John Belushi yell,
"Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. Hey, how about a New Year's resolution? To save money, to be more productive, and to spend less time at the office. You know how? Use GoToMyPC to work on your office PC from home. With GoToMyPC, you can access your office computer from any internet-connected computer. Save time, money. You don't have to go back to the office. Work from home. Spend more time with your family. Catch up on the weekend or evenings, I do this, without driving back to work. Travel with a peace of mind knowing you always have access to critical information. Go to my PC, brought to you by Citrix. It's the easiest remote access service available. It's automatic setup in just a few minutes. It's completely secure. I have an exclusive free trial just for my listeners. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Free! This offer only available if you use the promo code Colin. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Colin.
Lace them up. It's basketball time.
This second annual Heartland Hoops Classic is set for February 14th at the Heartland Event Center in Grand Island. Come see local high school teams of all the classes hit the court as they test their skills before district play. Get your tickets today by calling the Heartland Event Center box office or online at heartlandhoopsclassic.com. This second annual Heartland Hoops Classic, presented by Pro Team Design, Sheep Industries, Grand Island Independent, and your ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
In order to test his will, Fred likes to subject himself to extreme conditions. Today, he's swimming with the Polar Bear Club during a blizzard.
Yeehaw!
At Train, we believe in extreme testing, too. We expose them to desert-like heat, Arctic-like cold, and a gauntlet of abuses. So you can be confident you're investing in the most durable, reliable system available.
Get your extreme-tested Train from the folks that continually pass the test with our customers. Tested, tried, and true. That's why you want to call Fidelki Heating and Air.
It's hard to stop a Train.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you drove down 25th Street in Kearney 20 years ago, you'd see a lot of things you wouldn't even recognize, except for that one place on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Well, even back then, when you were in need of a quality used car or truck, you knew you could always count on Molly's. Today, you can count on a great deal on this 2003 V6 automatic Chevy Silverado for only $59.95. Yes, sir, Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. Good to know.
Here's a look at this afternoon's forecast. We'll have partial clearing at times across much of our region. We'll also have a slight chance for isolated snow flurries and snow showers around as well, with breezy north winds at around 15 to 30 miles an hour, and a high temperature fairly steady around 10 degrees for tonight. Overnight low near negative 3 degrees. Currently 10 above.
Doug and Daddy's show with you. Tomorrow, Eric Strickland joins us. NBA and just all-around great athlete going to the Nebraska Basketball Hall of Fame. Lincoln Journal Star reporting this morning that wide receiver recruit Antonio Bell has received the thumbs up from the NCAA Clearinghouse. Plans to be in Lincoln today to get his life started as a Husker. He was a product of the 08 recruiting class but fell just short academically at the time. Just short being a broad term there. The native of Daytona Beach, Florida, had 45 receptions for 776 yards and 9 touchdowns in his senior year. Bell's presence will help Nebraska's receiving commitment, Brandon Kinney. That's the only one they have right now coming out of Fort Scott Community College. So Lincoln Journal Star reporting Antonio Bell on campus with the Big Red after being cleared by the NCAA. Hey, I want to thank you for firing off your emails and being a part of the Doug and Daddy Show. If you missed any of it, go to the podcast. Click on the ESPN podcast on the top bar at ESPNSuperstation.com. Brought to you by Cunningham's Drill in the Loft. I want to thank Ron Powell, the Lincoln Journal star, Mike Munch, the new head women's soccer coach at UNK, and Royals Hall of Famer Dennis Leonard for joining us on the program today. Tomorrow, among our guests, Eric Strickland. See you then on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!